Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is they're eating crisps into the microphone, the pair of them. This is part two of the drunk cast. How drunk are we? We're not that drunk yet.
Like 4 out of 10.
4 out of 10. I will get there.
Probably about 1 out of 10.
Ooh,
yeah,
tough guy.
Yeah, Chris is a tough guy. He's a known tough guy as he sits there with his bowl of pre-cut oranges.
And olives.
Ooh, geezer.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
This is, yeah, there should be a warning because we're going to get more and more drunk and discuss stuff and probably be offensive. Take it with a pinch of salt or a slice of orange.
or both.
This is brought to you by speechofelementrecords.com, where you can go and get all sorts of good music. The Dark Summer photo shoot that we were going to talk about at the beginning of this one now, because me and Chris did that and we've not talked about it since.
No, we haven't.
And we went on a little adventure.
We did.
But check those photos out. They're at scroobiuspip.co.uk, the full shoot with Chae Leone Wolf. And there's also a lot of really cool behind-the-scenes shots by Tawny Photo, which is on Instagram. So check them out. And a shout-out to everyone involved in the shoot, including Mr. Christopher Glasson right here. Chae Leone Wolf and his assistant Asha, Tawny Photo, Meg Biffin, who did hair and makeup, and our amazing models, Jess Megan, Teta Maria, Chili Ray, who lives like just over the road here. Like, we could text her and get her on the drunk cast if we want.
Let's do that.
I'll give her a shout in a minute. Tommy Wills and Giacomo Marone. It's amusing because we were all like, is his name Giacomo? Because it's Giacomo. It's spelled G-I-A-C-O-M-M-O. And we're like,
what's his real name?
That's his name, Giacomo Marone. He's Italian. He's of Italian descent.
He's Italian, man.
But yeah, everyone was amazing. Was that everyone?
Wasn't it?
We didn't have any extra
people. You nailed
it,
mate. No, you nailed it.
And it was an amazing. One person commented saying, oh, you're constantly posting pictures from this shoot. I'm just really proud of what we all did. Because we broke into. Anyway, we'll get into that. Let's play the theme music. Part two. Chris, let's get straight into our little dark summer escape. So, do you know, have we told you much about this, Stuart?
Right.
So, me and Chris were kind of talking for a while. I was saying I wanted to find an abandoned swimming pool to do.
I'm aware of that.
Because I was releasing Swimmer and I spent a day driving around places to break into.
Okay.
Couldn't get into any of them. The security in abandoned places, because urban exploring has blown up, the security into abandoned places is next level now. But then I found out about this abandoned Pontins. And I was like, it's probably not going to work out. But I messaged Chris and was like, are you about tomorrow? I'm going to go and look at this place. And Chris was like, well, I was going to be decorating, but...
He wasn't really.
It was along the lines, did you fancy breaking in somewhere? And I was just like, yeah, I've just freezed up my day.
Yeah, he was busy until I mentioned you fancy breaking into an abandoned Pontins. And we went up there and we broke in within 30 minutes, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we didn't take any tools, but because we'd seen it had been accessed before, we did a good circuit. And then we just found a bit of fence that was clearly
lemon squeezy,
bent down for people to go in. And we went in, and it's a Pontins. It's a classic, a British holiday home.
Holiday
park. The whole thing's there. So
I mean, the residents,
So all of the chalets are there, all smashed up. The swimming pool, which was where we did the bulk of the shoot, that's been graffitied beautifully. The snooker hall. We did some shooting in. There's a pub. And we went a lot more places than we did on the shoot. There was a disco hall that was all part of an Aztec area. And again, it's weird because that isn't actually a good place to shoot, because you realise, as you'll know from the brush, but clubs are just a big empty room.
Clubs are only good when there's people in them.
They're big empty spaces. Mm-hmm. You put people and music in and they're good. Other than that, they're boring as fuck. Mm. It's as clear space as possible.
Yeah.
And there was a whole Aztec area that was all kind of a kid's bit. And, it was absolutely amazing.
It was really cool.
So So we took some pictures, and we were in there for about an hour on that day. And then I arranged the shoot, blah, blah, blah. And me being over-prepared, I said to Chris, like, the night before, I'm going to drive up there and make sure it's all good to go in the morning. So I drive up, and the area that we'd broken in had been fenced over. But as I'm walking down this country alleyway, as I'm walking down there, ahead of me, literally a hoodie, like your stereotypical, a kid on a bike in a hood, goes down this country alleyway. And when I get round there, he's disappeared, but he couldn't have got to the end of the alleyway, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right.
So I walked to the bit that we went in, and it was boarded up. I was like, there must be another entrance.
Yeah.
Because he's gone. He must be in there. So I hunted around. I found the other entrance. I didn't go in, because I figured if a teenager had gone in there, they're having some kind of party.
Yeah.
So I don't want to bowl in as a 35-year-old. Go, hey, guys.
Yeah.
Hey. That's it. That's where we fundamentally differ.
Hey. Hey, what's up? What's going on? All right. You want me to get some cider for the offer? I'll buy you some fags.
Fuck off, nonce.
I've got these tabs.
The amount of times you've heard that, Chris. So, yeah, all looks all good. There was a slight panic, but it's all good. And that was about 10 o'clock, and it took me over 2 hours to get home. So I get home at midnight, and we're leaving Stamford at about 9. So blah, blah, blah. And we get there about 11, I think.
Yeah.
And we park up away from it because we don't want to look suspicious. And then we go there, and between 10 o'clock at night when I was there and 11 o'clock the next day, they've refenced it. And we're suddenly like, oh, shit. Oh, what do we do? And
yeah.
And we're looking around, and my thinking is, there's no excuse for not getting anything. Like, we might not be able to get the shots we wanted, but if you're professionals, you've got to shoot, you've got your models, you get some photos.
Yeah, you got to do it.
So I took the models and the photographer down to the beach and nearby, and we started shooting there, and I left Chris, the little rapscallion, trying to find an entrance. I say trying to find. Do we admit that we were making trying to find an entrance?
Trying to find an entrance. I was trying to find an entrance with some cutting equipment
that I happen to have in my pocket. So Chris is trying to find an entrance, but equally, even then, me and Chris for years have been doing dodgy stuff.
I know. You used to have that 3-day weekend, didn't you, together?
I used to be, I talked about this briefly, it's how we got onto Banksy, in fact, on the Goldie episode. I used to do a bit of stenciling and street art.
I remember.
And we'd knock about at night, and we'd do shady shit. So me and Chris potentially getting ourselves in trouble, I'm fine with. Me and Chris putting the models or the photographer at risk, I'm not fine with.
Yeah.
So I said to Chris, let's scout about. Again, I felt, regardless, I knew that we could get in, but I needed to know that everyone could get in safely and we weren't going to get anyone in any shit. So I was like, scout about a bit and we're going to go and shoot. Now, the shooting on the beach was quite cool. It was cold, but it looked good.
Yeah.
So we kind of forgot about Chris for a minute.
It does happen.
And before long, what, 2 hours passed?
About that.
It was about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
2 hours. Of Chris just on his own in an abandoned Pontins.
What was you doing? Oh, the joy.
What did you get up to?
I had a good old look around.
It's still a mystery.
I found things to occupy my time.
Say no more.
Big wank.
don't underestimate him. Several. He wouldn't limit it to one. So we then get everyone and we come back. And my thought is, look, if we can get in and get 5 minutes, then we're golden. And it was quite interesting to see, because obviously everyone other than me and Chris haven't seen the planned location.
Yeah.
So I'm on the beach and we're doing these shots, and I'm a little bit, like, we're getting some great shots, but I'm a little bit, it's not really what I wanted. It's a summer wear range, and we're shooting on a beach.
Yeah.
It's a bit obvious. Even though we were doing it on a cold beach and it's a bit bleak, it's a bit obvious. And then we got in there, and it clicked with everyone. Everyone was suddenly like, oh, right, the best it's an amazing location, isn't it? So suddenly everyone realised why I was so keen to get in there. And then we had probably a couple of hours in there, right?
Yeah, man.
And just shot and shot and shot in the swimming pool. Chris scared some kids. At least these two lads were strolling through. And he went to try and scout it and make sure it's no... And they were just urban explorers, just doing some photography.
Mm.
And, we shot there, and then we went and shot in the pool hall.
Sorry, criminals called urban explorers now?
Urbex is the thing, yeah. So breaking and enter... Or not breaking and entering, entering... Trespassing. So not breaking, but trespassing.
There's a good reason why it's illegal as well, which I'll talk about in a little while.
This was the great bit, and Chris was amazing help throughout in scouting, in holding
flash
points and things like that, and just being a general, it helps to have someone, as weird as it sounds, who doesn't have a specific job on anything like that. It helps to have someone who doesn't have a specific job, because then they're there to cover everything. And you're always going to have... You're going to be short of something.
Lucky.
Yeah, yeah. And he was great on that. He smashed it.
I think Jess said, so what are you doing here tonight? I was like, not a lot, really.
I had you listed on the call sheet as like a producer or something. Then I co-producer.
It's like way over the top.
Shoot producer.
Someone's like, what are you doing? And I was like, honestly, fuck all now.
But he was in one of the shoots at the end, and it's a photo I posted online. We're in this pool hall, and all the big pool tables are there, smashed up and destroyed. And Chilly Ray in particular was loving climbing on them, and the shoots looked amazing. And we're shooting on this pool table as a group shot, because we've got a lot of individual bits, but I wanted these group shots of just us knocking about. Because my thought was, as soon as we found a pontins, this is a whole summer holiday, rather than just swim, we're in a pool.
This is
everything. This whole thing, but it's bleak and smashed up. And we're standing there, and it's going well, and Chris is holding a flash, and then Chris just goes, I think we should leave.
It was like,
what's that? Chris, I think we should leave now. And everyone's like, okay. I think we should leave now. And it was so fucking mysterious. Is he shit himself? I thought he might have seen someone, but it was a good reason. I said, it slayed me, the mysteriousness of it. Just, I think it's time we went pack up everyone out. But he'd realised that it was all asbestos, because it's an old ponting, so all the roofing was all asbestos, and it was all over the floor and smashed up, which, it's dangerous, but it's dangerous extended amount of time. But still, regardless, it's people who are helping us out. The models were all, we don't want to put anyone at risk.
No,
so
exactly.
Yeah, you give that a nudge to the party.
And that was it.
I didn't want to be like, oh, get out, everyone.
And
at the same time, I wanted everyone to get out.
To get out, yeah. And it was equally, at that point, we started to look at other locations, and I took Charlione aside and said, look, we need to wrap. Because at that point, it's been a fairly long day, but now we've got into this exciting place, and everyone was like, let's shoot over there. Let's shoot over there.
No wonder they're fencing that up every fucking 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's amazing there. It is slightly annoying still, because it's a beautiful location.
But that is the reason why these places are dangerous, because you have to take on that risk. You can't do these things and then start running around trying to sue people because you're in a site that's been marked as untracked.
I feel that we are responsible.
Definitely.
Despite what you might have heard on the drunk cast, we're responsible, so we will go, all right, this isn't cool, we need to move on. And to my point, I said to Charlione, we need to wrap now. Because everyone's like, let's shoot over there. But my point was, we're all in a new location.
Chris just coughed up blood then.
So.
We're all in a new location and we're excited, but it was it was about 5 o'clock at that point. I was like, the schools are out now. So other people might start turning up. But more than anything...
Chris has a court injunction.
Chris can't be around.
That
Jess had a 5-hour drive.
Yeah.
Tawny, Vicky Kate, had a 4-hour drive. And my point is, it's exciting now, but when you're driving home on your own for 5 hours and it's getting to 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, it's not as exciting and you're going to crash. And so it was that kind of thing of like, let's wrap things up. But yeah...
And you can overshoot stuff.
I said, easily overshoot. We were doing a bit of urban exploring the other day for something that it might be Redshift related.
But
we found this place. But again, amazing location. It's dangerous if you're an idiot.
It's super dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Like,
that's why we've not invited you.
Right.
That amazing location. And I'd seen it, and I said to Chris, it's when Chris stayed over for 3 days, I was like, I want to take you somewhere.
It weren't just fucking.
I've got this abandoned building.
It wasn't just fucking in a bed. Sorry.
Was he walking out there thinking, yeah, Pip, this is a bit scary.
He was proper moody. Because truth is, like, with the
you
podcast...
You should have said, like, you think you're scared. I've got to walk home from here on my own.
Truth is, because of the podcast network, I try and listen to each podcast. So I'll go for a walk. To do it, and this is somewhere that I walk. I've not been in the actual bit we went to, but I've walked near it and gone around it and scouted it a bit. And if you listen to a podcast, time flies by. So when I was saying to Chris, I was like, yeah, it's 10 minutes away. It's a 40-minute walk there.
Fucking 40-minute walk, mate.
All the way. Oh, Chris, going, is it close? Because you said like 10-15 minutes. It's been a while. And
I went up for it, mate. Even though I knew it was for the good of the cause.
Is it walkable from here?
Yeah,
it ain't walkable for you.
I don't know if you do.
I think my niece took photos there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, not them.
No.
But no, mate. We're going to do something, which comes on to something. Well, obviously, Redshift related. Something that I've been doing recently is that grime art stuff.
Mm.
That's been so much fun to do that, and I've been thinking doing a. Cheers, mate. I've been thinking of doing like those prints of something that we're going to release soon.
Mm-hmm.
As a t-shirt, because the Riker prints have been going really well. We always knew they would, but it's a nice way to link art with fashion and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do fart with fashion.
Fart.
Here we go. You heard it here first, folks. two pints of Scroobius and he's
let's call it fart. It's a new movement. It's a new movement. Put a razor blade out right now.
Put a razor blade out of that.
That went viral, didn't it?
Yeah,
went mental. That one of the comments on Instagram in the last episode was someone saying, "If I don't hear put a razor blade out right now, I'm turning off." So
there you
it's
go.
Just for you, young man. Anyway, man.
So I wanted to do one where instead of just the smaller prints we're going to release, we do a bigger canvas, a one-off.
Yeah.
Of the Miley Cyrus one being grimy, and I want to paint a bigger one, but I wanted to do it in a garage, like a grimy sort of dark dingy garage. And Pip went to me, do you need anywhere for a location to do something cool? And I was like, in fact, I do, I want to shoot in a garage. He went, well, I'll tell you what, I've got one better. So we went and checked went and checked it out, and but in terms of trespassing and stuff like that, the reason why these places can be blocked off, if you're thinking about doing urban exploring, and it is fun, it is dangerous. Like, you know, climbing, if you've ever done like walks and going up mountains, you guys have done that, mm-hmm. and sometimes it gets a bit risky, doesn't it? You know, you've been caught with your pants down.
It's ain't no one, lads.
I've heard about you losing your fucking bottle up there.
I did lose my bottle up there.
If anyone doesn't know, it's on YouTube. Me, Stu, my brother, and Tom Coles, for Movember several years ago. I was kind of anti-Movember because I think growing a moustache isn't hard. People like, sponsor me to not shave.
Yeah.
All right, wicked. That's cool. It's a weird one. So we made the Mow in Movember mountain,
That's right.
We climbed a mountain.
Yep.
And at the top of it, I did Introdiction.
Yep.
So Tom set the camera up and I performed Introdiction at the top of a mountain.
Call a Scroobius, please.
A Scroobius?
Yes.
Oh, fuck you.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Yep.
Most popular new drink of 2016.
Why don't you have a Fever Tree?
Anyway, it's on YouTube. Just look up Movember or Mo Movember, it might have been.
That's right.
On YouTube. And we climbed a mountain. But we went the slightly harder route, and it was in November, which isn't the ultimate time to climb snow.
Well, let's clarify something ahead of that we'd woke up the next morning, Soundman Jim, we'd since found out I'd been drinking.
We got my old Soundman and tour driver to drive us in his van. Mm. He wasn't coming up with us, but he drove us up there. We'd all gone to bed at what, midnight?
About that.
About midnight, and it turns out Jim had gone to bed, because we're all sharing rooms.
Yep.
So Jim had gone to bed, waited for whoever he was in the room with to fall asleep, then snuck out and gone back to the bar.
Yeah.
And then gone back to bed at some point. But we came down and they were like, how's your mate? He'd been drinking there till 4, was it?
Yeah.
And we were up at 6.
What?
and we were leaving at 6.
I think he was driving us up a mountain at that point as well.
Yeah, so he's been drinking till 4, and at 6 o'clock he's driving us up Snowdon and dropping us off, but again, he wasn't coming up with us. But people at the bar had even said, oh, have you got, like, calipers and stuff? And we're like, nah. We got, like...
They also told us how many people had died there in the last month or so.
There was a few.
And then I remember...
It was out of shape, folks, like you, wasn't it?
I'd been there the month before swimming. I'd been swimming in the lakes there. And you'd get the train up there and, you know, in the car park, it was rammed and everyone was going up the mountain. When we got there, there wasn't any cars in the car park. Right. The train wasn't running because it was... fog,
too cold, yeah,
and you couldn't see the top half of Snowdon.
And so, we're like, we'll walk it.
And needless to say, we got up in the fog,
yeah,
and got lost.
That's it. The problem that we had, I think, is we went off the path that we were meant to be on.
Yeah,
because the way we found our way back was we saw someone at a distance, and we scrambled across. So it wasn't even on a path; it was on scrambling rocks.
We went from walking to using our hands. Yeah. That's when you start thinking, it's when you're going up, all right, but if we get to a point where we can't go up, we've got to come down that way, and that's fucking dangerous.
And that was the bit where I butted heads with you, or not butted heads, but tried to argue with you, because we were going up, and again, it was quite clear we weren't on the path that we were intended to go
on. You can't see anywhere. You've got no point
of fog,
reference.
Because of the fog, you could see a foot or so in front of you, and that was it. But it was slippery because of the fog.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying the great quote of, no, this ain't the one. No, lads, I don't think this is the one. And Ian has done Snowdon a few times and Tom has.
Yep.
So they were a little bit more chilled. I was panicking a little bit,
yep,
but not as much as you. And you were like, ain't the one. And my argument to Stu was, where we've got to, I'm more comfortable keeping going than trying to climb down this slippery rock.
Yeah. Yep.
My argument was, if we keep going, at some point we're going to get to the top. And then we can take the easy path down.
Mm.
Where we are now, I'm not confident in climbing down this slippery rock.
Yep.
And we kept going for a bit. And then this makes us sound like the biggest pussies in the world. But across the scrambly type bit, we saw a guy walking his dog.
We saw a bunch of school kids.
He wasn't a young man either. He was no gen. But he was walking. But it was across scrambly bits and it was shady. And we got across to him.
And I should point out, he said he climbs it every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, I come up here every day.
And I'm he local. Said, what way was you going? We was like, we was going to go that way. And he was like, yeah, that wouldn't have been good.
That wouldn't have been good at this time of year, blah, blah, blah. So we were like, do you know your way to the top? He's like, yeah. He's like, do you mind if we walk with you?
It's crazy.
Followed him and his dog. But it's annoying because on the video, none of that comes across. Because genuinely at that point, we weren't thinking about videos. We were generally thinking...
survival.
Oh, are we those fucking
idiots
who get stuck up a mountain and die, or mountain rescue?
But it does happen. It does happen. Like, kids more recently got stranded. Where was that? Up in Scotland. And got on that beachhead. And they could have easily drowned. And by some miracle, they just got off it. And I know you always take the piss out of me being a rad snowboarder. But I've been in those situations where... it gets
isn't so rad.
Insanely dangerous.
Yeah, well,
like really bad. Like we our first real holiday, we went up a mountain. We got hit by a whiteout, and a whiteout is like what you're saying with fog.
You had one of them after the Ed Skrein episode.
We haven't ever talked about that. We should talk about that tonight. Is that going to be cool about that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. But it was a whiteout, and in a whiteout, I don't know if it was the same in the fog, but like you guys say, like you can't see 2 foot in front of you.
Yeah.
It's like, you know those scenes in movies where they go to heaven?
And that's what made it so much worse, because it might have been, if we could see better, you could see, oh, it's only a bit
further. We weren't far from the top.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we were.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in that whiteout, I went off the side of a fucking cliff.
Mm.
Yeah.
That was horrible. Like, I literally, on a snowboard that I was only just getting to terms with, got dragged off the side of the cliff by inertia, and that was fucking insane. And I got out of that, but like when you're out in the elements like that, things go from very normal to sketchy as fuck quickly,
totally,
don't they? Like, and you don't know that, and your parents would be
I did know that.
Oh, right.
And like, and that was why I was like, ain't right.
Right.
And like, you know, I'd done Nevis, and it weren't the one, and I was just thinking,
Oh, well, after that, me and Tom were up at the Edinburgh Fringe, and Tom came up and stayed with me for a bit, and then filmed my Edinburgh Fringe show available at speechofedinburghrecords.com. and we started to walk up the hill at Edinburgh Fringe. I can't remember what it's called. And I just kind of stood about a foot off the ground, and Tom filmed, just tearing it. This ain't the one, mate. This ain't the one. And then we sent it to Stu.
What I should also point out, halfway up, me and Tom had beef years ago because he was smart mouthed.
He is smart mouthed, Tom.
And so, obviously, I had some beef with Tom, which got put way behind us, and we never really discussed. But never discussed, because you don't want to, do you? If you had an issue with someone years ago, let's not bring that up, because we'll get on, like, really well now, and he made the documentary about the toothbrush.
Yeah,
and,
tell you what, get Pip to bring it up when you're after half a mountain.
Remember when you used to hated each other?
You're a cunt.
Oh, it's fun times. Anyway, trips gone wrong, Stu, how was your holiday, mate?
Oh my god, this is the best.
This is good, because I kind of thought it was a podcast, but obviously I could do top five things that went wrong on that holiday, because
totally
everything went wrong on that holiday.
Yeah.
So you've been through it with me. But you know the brush strokes, mate, don't you?
You touched upon
it.
We had a phone call, didn't we?
Shall we do the? How are we doing for time now? Shall we have the blow by blow account?
We're 26 minutes in. We've got loads of time.
Oh, mate, because we were going to do a podcast special on this, because this is batty. This is crazy, man.
Pretty crazy. Mm. So, my family decided we was going to go on holiday, and we
went to Afghanistan.
Me. The missus, the two kids, my niece, and my in-laws decided we'd go on a cruise. Now, I'd never been on a cruise. Wasn't particularly that thrilled at the prospect of a cruise. It's not really my idea of a holiday. But as it got round to getting ready to go, I was really up for an holiday. As you know, I do a few different jobs and whatnot, so I was like, I'm looking forward to just kind of switching off. And
a cruise is like, it's as much as it might not be the idea you have of exploration or whatever else, it's kind of the idea of it is it's easy, it's all there,
right?
So that's what I thought. It's a good way to see lots of countries, quickly. However,
it's all planned for you, you haven't got to do a lot, have you? You just got to be places,
there lies part of the problem as well. Didn't just get straight on the boat. It was going to be idyllic, and we was going to go. We did. Flew straight to Venice for 2 days in Venice. Gondola with the kids, you know.
Nice.
Ice cream, spaghetti, beautiful. Nice wine, and, you know. And Venice is a very, very beautiful place. Yeah. Very well-dressed people.
Romantic as well.
Very romantic, yeah. And so we decide we're going to kick the holiday off properly and book ourselves into the VIP lounge at the airport.
Nice.
And think, let's just lay out a bit of money, and rather than eating Jamie Oliver's shithole and have a really dry fucking bacon roll at the airport, let's go to the VIP thing, have some nice food, maybe, glass of champagne and... You know, just and sit on a comfy chair and just spoil ourselves
live
a bit.
The high life. Yeah, do you know who I am?
Like,
I run a successful podcast now.
Right, so I just thought this it'd be nice, you know. So we get to the terminal and then we realise that they'd changed our flight to a different terminal, and so we had to go to the different terminal, and the VIP lounge wasn't like all the other VIP lounges there that had one in each terminal. They only had the one in the terminal that we wasn't flying from. So
so what happened? So,
well, we tried to say, can it be transferred to another lounge, and it couldn't, so that was that out the window. So had a shit bacon roll in Witherspoons.
Which sometimes, when you're on a lad's holiday...
Oh, it's the answer.
Right. That's the answer, right?
I'm no snob. Fucking no, hell.
But you were playing in VIP lounge. If you've been in one before, they are pretty fucking
mega,
aren't they? They're amazing. Cool at an airport.
And I just thought, like...
I've heard.
Yeah, and my in-laws had never been in one, and I just thought, yeah, let's just push the boat out and, you know, make the most of it. So we've just gone into Witherspoons, had a bit of breakfast, and... And then got on the plane, and it was like, right, okay, look, we're en route to Venice. This is going to be
Not a good start, but who cares? Good holiday.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to Venice. Like, so we get to Venice and we get to the collection point where you get your cases and such. And you know what it's like when you're there, and if you don't see, everyone's got that eagerness, aren't they? They're all looking for their case, and everyone's got that paranoia.
It's an unfounded anxiety.
I had that after my last trip to LA, because I was coming straight from the airport to meet Chris for Obama. And because a lot of my stuff's odd size, because I bring my podcast gear out, I'm like, it's not coming, is it? Everything, I've seen that case five times. It's not coming.
And it
always comes in the end, though.
Of course it does. It didn't. not just my case, but my case, and in my case, it was my stuff and one of my daughters, and in my wife's case was hers and our other daughter's luggage. My in-laws' luggage turned up and my niece's luggage turned up, but all of ours didn't.
Damn.
And so you just think, right, well, this isn't happening, so let's go to the unhelpful man at the airport and ask him.
Craig was there.
And I just tried to ask him where our luggage was, and he was like, yeah, it's not here, is it? And I was like, I kind of worked that out. Where is it? I don't know. Here's a number. Phone it later on.
I don't like that.
And I just thought, okay, now, I've got 2 days in Venice, so I need my cases before I get on a boat, and then I'm in different countries every day. So if I haven't got it in them 2 days...
Then you've got no clothes, no...
When I say stuff. No clothes, I mean no clothes, no contact lenses, toiletries, suntan lotion, just kind of...
No clots.
Everything that you need, you know, just to kind of have a normal holiday.
Yeah.
And we've decided not to get too stressed. Sorry, I decided I wasn't going to get too stressed, because obviously I can get quite stressed. And so we've got to our hotel in Venice and thought, right, let's make the most of it. And we went out into town and we had some dinner and we got drunk and we come home and slept through the night, woke up the next day. But obviously that night when we got in, had to take all our clothes off, wash them all, hang them out. Hopefully they'll be clean and dry by the morning.
Damn.
Because we've got to wear them again. And then the next day, I've then started talking to Elaine at Monarch, who... You know what? I won't actually be too rude about her, because she, in her mind, she was trying to help me out, although she'd never actually gave me. The flashpoint of this conversation gets to the point where basically we are in St. Mark's Square on day two, and I'm thinking, I'm getting on a boat later today. Please tell me my luggage is here. I'd also seen in the newspapers that shit had gone down at Heathrow and there was no luggage anywhere, or Gatwick, I think it was, BA had all gone belly up, and I just thought, shit, like, everyone's going to be pining for their bags, and there's going to be chaos. Bank holiday weekend, so I'm ringing English airports, no one's answering, I'm spent God knows hours and hours on the phone to Italian automated services. I don't speak Italian.
No.
Anyway, so we get to a flashpoint where I'm like, kids, like, I think we might just have to go and just spend loads of money on clothes and just kit ourselves out, because I don't think we're going to get our bags. You know, we're just going to have to do it. And we're in Venice, so there ain't a Primark, it's Prada, Chanel. Yeah, and I was just thinking, this is fucking ridiculous. Ring, ring, my phone goes. And it's Elaine. Hello? Mr. Whiffin? Yeah? Just to let you know, your bags are at Venice. And I was like...
Oh, what a legend.
And I went,
thank you, Elaine.
I could kiss you. I went, thank you so much. Put the phone down. Guys, our bags are at Venice. High-fiving each other.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Ring, ring. Stuart? Yes? It's Elaine again. Sorry, that call was meant for someone else. Your stuff isn't at Venice.
Whose bags were at Venice?
Fuck, whose bags were at Venice?
Robbie Williams. It was Robbie's.
And like... my voice cracked, not with anger, but just with, well, why would you do that? Like,
that's unreal.
Yeah, so...
oh, no.
Can I just say as well, mate, like, that for me, the idea of being away, like, being at home phoning anyone where you've got some sort of admin, it might be some kind of, like...
It's fucking shit.
...utility provider or whatever, because they've gnawed something up.
It's laborious.
It's laborious and frustrating, but if you're away, that is eating in to what is supposed to be your sort of, like, holiday...
Yep.
Quality relaxing time, and you're on the phone to that. To me,
they're speaking in Italian.
That puts the stress factor up by.
Ah, mate, don't you worry. No. We'll throw some more stress in the mix here. So we get on the boat. As we get on the boat, I'm wearing the same clothes I've had on for like nearly 3 days, man.
Which you're used to, but your family
and,
aren't.
But so as we get on, we walk on the boat, and there's like a red carpet for like all the guests to board the cruise liner on, and then there's like this kind of backdrop, and the photographer's like, "Come on, let's take a photo," and I was just like, "No," and you think, oh, "Fuck off, mate!" Like, seriously, like
you're the smelly family,
like yeah. And so we've checked in on the boat, and I've sort of I've gone, excuse me, we've got nothing. Like, we've literally got nothing. What can you do?
No begging.
Like, you know. And the woman went, "I are," and gave me and my two small children and my shortish, what would you say, Carol's quite short?
Like, yeah, average height, but yeah. She's female.
4XXL, blah, blah, cruise liner T-shirts.
Oh, sweet. Hell, man.
I responded with, "Thank you, but we're not the fucking Griswolds." and had to walk away because I just thought, I'm fucking
starting. You're going to go.
I'm getting angry now. But I suppressed the anger, right? That evening, I'm still wearing white T-shirt, shorts and flip-flops, okay? So
oh, mate.
On the cruise, all food's free, right? But it's not sweet. Like a buffet. There's really nice restaurants. So it's like, okay, come kids, let's go back to the room. Let's, well, we won't get any change, but let's brush the teeth with the new toothbrushes and the new toothpaste we've had to buy. And go and have some dinner.
Yeah.
Get to the restaurant.
Because yeah. it's free, right? Is it
yeah,
free?
Yeah, everything's or? Free, yeah. And yes, sir. There's a table for 7 of us, please. Well, you can't come in wearing that. And I went... "I haven't got anything else." And he went, "You need to have trousers." I went, I know. I'd like to have a pair of trousers, but I haven't got any luggage. You can't come in here, sir." And I went, "You fucking joking." And I was just thinking, and Carol kind of done the stop it, because I was starting to get ag.
You were at the point of boiling over.
Probably up nearly sort of 4 days in now, and I'm really just fucking...
Mate, when we were in traffic the other day, Pip, honestly, he fucking went... But I've got a temper, and he went bananas in about 2 seconds. Honestly, like, he saw queue ahead, and I've got a bad temper, right? But even before I could get upset, he took all my anger, and he was spraying anger everywhere. So God knows how you was in 4 days, but you were with your family, not with me. So
yeah,
you would bottle it up, wouldn't you?
Raw to baked potato in no time.
Oh mate, I was mashed at this point. But this is then. So we then get on we stop at the first place, and I'll still obviously just now, if you want Wi-Fi on the boat, I believe it was something like £60 a day, because they have to operate from you make phone calls on the boat, it's something like £5 a minute, because they've got their own satellite for the Wi-Fi was like £50 a day. So I'm ringing trying to find out where my luggage is, and it's just costing stupid though. Yeah, and so I then end up getting off on the first trip and get on the coach, and then there's a big funeral in whatever country we was in, and so we just sat on the coach for 5 hours in traffic, and then they just done a U-turn and we went back to the boat. So we just our first excursion was just that. Then that night, I won't go into the massive fight, because that was quite horrible.
I think to me that's my highlight as an
really
evil. Yeah, I mean, like, highlight in terms of,
do you want me to talk about it? Because that's kind of the crescendo.
Sure.
To me, Pip, this is beyond. This is bananas.
Like,
the fact you got off at a port, sat in traffic for five hours, and then went back.
The fact that you can get into a fight in flip flops.
It's really weird you say that.
No, here we go.
Because I had my rucksack, and in my rucksack, I had a magazine, and I had...
Right, by a magazine means a 49 clip for an AK-47. Right.
But I had my trainers.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the only other thing I had, my trainers. And in the meantime, I then asked Lost Property if they had some trousers. This is a boat full of predominantly, I would say, Filipino staff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're not 6 foot three.
No.
So I've now got ridiculously short trousers that I couldn't do up. So I had to put my belt around them and just to get into the restaurant.
He's wearing three quarter length trousers.
My kids, it was just fucking rubbish.
You should have been at home with that. That's just, like the 90s.
That's making me think of the old Studio 54 thing where it's like, you can't come in that shirt. And he takes the shirt off. You can't come in them trousers. Take them off. No, seriously, you can't come in. Security?
So we're walking back to the room. After this night, we're walking back to the room, and if you've ever been on a cruise liner, like, there's tiny little corridors, and the rooms are very, the cabins are tiny, no natural light, and just to add it, the cabin was two single beds, with two single beds above it, and the single beds open, like, fold down about 2 foot above the bed below, so every morning I'd wake up, smash my head on the bottom of the bed above me, and so it was just fucking tense.
It wasn't fun.
Walking back to the room.
That's not what you expect when you go on a cruise either, is it? Like, if you pay, because you paid a fair amount of money.
Yeah, it's a fucking fortune.
Is it P&O or?
No, it wasn't, no.
Stena.
Walking back to the room.
It's a ferry, isn't it? It's not a cruise.
And there's two women punching a door. And a bloke trying to slam the door shut on them, going, leave me alone. And they're going, fuck off, like, just kicking and punching his door. I've thought, right, I need to get my wife and kids past this situation without it kind of affecting them. Yeah. So I've just kind of gone, right, and, like, sort of squeezed my kids past. And we've sort of gone down sort of three or four doors to our room. And then she's going, you fucking cunt. And before I could even let my rage out, my missus has gone, don't use that language in front of my children.
Which is a very, very, very rational, fair thing to say.
Now, if you're having a temper tantrum...
A amount of times Carol has said that to me.
Exactly, mate.
Just be a fifth, please. Sorry, you're right.
But he's been banging on my front door trying to get into my bedroom.
But, you know, if you're having a rage and then someone goes, oh, mate, there's kids over there, you'd think, oh, fuck, sorry. Sorry, pal. Like,
there's no other answer to that.
There isn't. Well, there
is. There's not. There, like, is. I've been caught sweating in a sweet shop. It's one of my low points. And one of my mates went, I'll wash your mouth out. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm swearing in a fucking kid's sweet shop. I didn't say that.
Well, this girl's reaction was, do you fucking want some then? And I was like, come running down the corridor.
Don't mind if I do.
To start a fight with my missus. And, like, and it's just like these two girls have come to see me down this corridor, and I was like, fuck! And, like, so I've just kind of stepped in front of Carol.
Knocked them both out.
And, like, no. But at that point, obviously, I'm used to situations like that in the clubs.
Yeah.
But it's a very different dynamic when your wife and your children are there.
Yeah, 100%.
Because you know where to place yourself, you know where to stand, you know where the issues are, and you're in a very confined corridor.
Yeah, and you've got doorman to back you up.
Yeah. And you've got flip-flops on. and like, literally, like, I've just gone, fuck off. And, like, and I just thought, I'm going to lose it. Mm. And then the people that was with them were also staying down our corridor. The doors have opened and people have just piled out from everywhere.
Oh, shit.
And one guy's come straight up to me and I just thought...
It's like Daredevil... series.
Yeah.
And has to fight everyone in the corridor. Or Old Boy.
Yeah. Or The Raid. All those. Raid.
Yeah. Dread.
I'm a tough guy.
I love you, man.
I think I would have just took out 20 fucking people.
Yeah.
Without even fucking worrying. And I just remember sort of saying, because my kids were screaming, like, and really upset, just going, don't hurt my mum. And so
fucking hell, man.
And so, and this is our holiday that's not been much fun. Yeah. And I'm thinking, I just want to beat the fuck out of every guy that's standing here that's in my face now.
Yeah.
And I'm also thinking I need to get my children out of this situation. Kind of got them in the room. And they're screaming, saying they want to go home, and I'm like, fuck. And I'm trying to calm myself.
And the dark bit in all of this is, you're on a fucking cruise. Like, there's no exit.
No, for the next five days.
Yeah.
Which happened.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to kind of find that balance between going, girls, like, it's all right. No one's going to hurt you. Everything's fine. Don't worry.
I mean, they might tomorrow.
But then, when they're crying and saying they just want to go home, you don't want to hear that from your kids when you're on holiday.
Mm.
And I was just thinking,
enjoy yourselves.
Yeah. So I was like, and I just went, I've got to deal with this, Carol. And like, I just put my trainers on. And I just thought, right, I'm just going to go out there and have a tear up. And I was like, right, let's fucking do it. Just walked out there and I was like, right, who's got something to say?
Yes.
No one had anything to say. And that weren't because I'm a fucking tough guy. It was, I just think they just thought, there's a broken fucking man now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, you know.
I think
for fuck's sake, look at his trousers, for Christ's sake.
You were pushed beyond any sense of rationality.
Stood there in his short trousers and double XL P&O t-shirt.
So anyway, that kind of carried on. Got back to the airport that night. A couple of nights later to go home. When we arrived there, 8-hour delay. You won't be leaving at 7 o'clock that evening. Oh, it was like whatever o'clock the following morning. I just bent over to pick up my suitcases with the right fucking hump. My sunglasses then fell off and smashed on the floor in the airport. I kicked them and shouted, "Cunt glasses!" That was a bit of a fucking moment.
Someone burst out the door and said, "Don't speak like that in front of my kids." Fucking hell!
Get on the plane as we're fucking. I'm not spiritual, religious, anything like that.
Yeah.
But I dreamt that night that the plane crashed.
Wishful thinking at that point, mate.
And it was vivid. And I've never, ever, ever thought. Oh, and I selfishly went, "Girl, I've had a really fucking bad dream. I've had a dream that plane crashes tonight." She was like, "Oh, thanks."
Can we just stop there and say that this next bit, for me, when I thought this story was over, when you told it to me the first time round, I thought there's no way this can get any more insane than what you're about to fucking say.
Go.
So I'm thinking, I've just got bad karma here. And then when we
checked in. Final destination, right?
When we checked in.
Yeah, totally.
There was a disclaimer saying that due to some issue with the airline, the staff, they'd brought in sort of freelance staff. I won't say the airline and stuff like that. I won't fucking do that.
It was Monarch, wasn't it? You said earlier.
Yes, it was, yeah.
how do you spell that? M-O-N.
Go ahead.
So, as we kind of took off, you all know what an aeroplane sounds like when it takes off, don't it?
I've been in one or two.
Yep.
Okay.
In my time.
So let's do a noise, kind of demo. So you're taking off. But you can still hear me over that.
Yeah.
Right? And I was thinking, that don't sound right. And I was thinking, like, don't get spooked. It's like, it's just a...
It's just the bloke behind me.
Not in front of the kids, mate. And as we've took off, my youngest has then gone, and I've looked out the window and seen a big flash, and then I could see smoke.
Gremlins?
And I just thought, And I looked, and my missus was kind of had done the kind of Gary Lineker wink, as if to say, like, hold it together. Like,
mm-hmm.
My youngest has gone, we're all going to die. Stop the plane, please. God. I want to get off.
Oh, God.
And, like, and has lost her shit.
Oh, my word.
Lost her shit. And my niece come out with some solid gold at this point, because I'm sitting with my other daughter and my niece. Mm-hmm. My wife's sitting with my youngest, who's...
Losing it.
I could tell that inside me and Carol were both losing it, and I was thinking, this is fucked up. Like, this is bad. And she's really losing her shit now. My eldest is going, what's wrong with my sister? And I was going, oh, she's just a bit upset. Like, and I'm shouting because you can't hear it over this fucking noise. And then they're going over the tunnel. Like,
Jesus Christ.
We'll soon be up at whatever. And, you know, you can expect there's going to be some turbulence shortly. And so whilst this is all going on, my niece, bless her, who's 10, just went, when's this turbulence coming? I'm starving. And I was like, it's not a meal.
Brilliant.
But, yeah, and we landed, and then I've got...
Your niece is the hardest motherfucker on the planet.
Mate, she was tough as boots, mate. And then, yeah, we landed, got in my car, turned the keys over in my car at, like, whatever fucking time, stupid o'clock in the morning because of the delay, and yeah, air sensor. I had a flatty on my front driver's side thing. So, yeah, smashing holiday.
That's beyond the worst.
There's a lot.
I mean,
last night in Venice. So we go, let's just go and find somewhere really Italian, and let's not go kind of central where everyone is. Let's go off the beaten track. And we found this beautiful little square where there was, like, a few little restaurants, and it was, like, looked like way off the beaten track. I thought, we're going to get some nice Italian food here. Let's sit in the square, people watch. Our meal arrives, and you literally... And I thought, what's that? And I would say 400 right-wing Italian football fans...
Oh, wow.
...turn up in this square, letting off red flares with drums, Sieg Hein.
Sweet.
And I'm literally got my fucking lasagna in front of me, just thinking, this can't be happening. No. I'm like, mate. And I was like, right, I don't know what's going to happen there. I just thought that the most tranquil place I've ever been, within 3 seconds, become a scene of what could potentially have been a riot. Yeah. Like, yep, flares and... Yeah,
God damn. Good. At what point on the holiday was it...
It was never a holiday.
Or was it that you texted me saying you'd lost your bags and it was rough, and I just messaged back going, that has made my... I couldn't be any happier right now. I didn't know the depths of the misery, but it cheered me up no end.
Yeah. Well, there you
go. Once you'd heard all of it.
Yeah.
Highlight of that is you losing your bags made you have to buy some new clothes. That's the only plus point from my perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
You bought all the same clothes.
I was going to say... Did they have a stop off in France?
We be in. So there you go. That was my horrendous holiday.
That's bad.
That's beyond belief, man.
We're 50 minutes in. I've got a shorter tale of my trip to LA.
Okay.
Which went bad only for a day or so. But, right. So I'm flying. I'm getting a red eye. I'm flying overnight.
Is that like pink eye?
No. I'm flying overnight.
Oh, okay.
And time difference and all that. So I'm landing... I'm scheduled to land at 5, I think it was. But again, it's on the way out there, it's a 13-hour flight. So it's a fair old trek. And I'm using Airbnb. I've used them once before in LA, and it was all right. It wasn't perfect, but it was all right. And I found this place, and I start to get a bit nervous the day before. Like, in fact, I'm about to fly, and I get a message saying... I'm not going to be about, so my guy who checks people in will check you in. Here's his details. So I'm like, all right. And then I get a message off this guy saying, hey, I need to check you in before 6 or after 10 because I've got class. And I'm like, right, well, I land at 4. Oh, sorry, I land at 4:30. I was like, I'm not confident I'm going to get landed, get my bags, get my rental and get to you before 6. I'm not happy with waiting till 10 after a 13-hour flight. I want to get into my Airbnb and relax. As soon as, all right, I'll get my mate to check you in. So it's a long old flight, but it's fine. It was nice enough. I happen to have an empty row. I'm 6'4", so it's pleasing when you've got some spare seats next to you. So I land, I got my bags. That was good, that was nice.
Well done. Win.
I get in my car, and I drive to meet this guy, and it's all mysterious. He's like, you have to meet me at this off licence. And I'm like, all right, I'll meet you at this off licence. So I go there and I'm lingering about, and then he comes and finds me. And he's like, right, have you got a car? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, right, I'll come with you. I'm like, all right, it's a bit weird. And I'm driving into the car park. And he's like, right, yeah, like, here's the buzzer for the car park. But at this bit, it's a public car park as well. At this bit, just drive past the guy at the gate and don't say anything and don't look at him.
Well, and as that, it turns that's out, his instruction.
That's his instruction. He's like, just don't look at him, just drive. Just drive by. It turns out in LA there's a lot of issues with Airbnb because it's taken over the rental market. Right. So a lot of buildings, you're not meant to Airbnb.
Right.
Because they can make a lot more money by charging you 70 quid a night.
Sure.
Than charging someone however much a month. Mm-hmm. So they just Airbnb it and take that risk. Is it going to be full? Is it going to be empty? And bear in mind, I'd booked this 2 nights before I'd gone. So I get there.
Lack of planning, really.
Oh, no, it was kind of... I didn't have my flight details in time because of it was for a podcast. It was for a Destiny special that was out last week.
Lack of planning.
So I'm going in, and he's like, ignore them, and then drive part. And he drives me all... I drive all the way down, and then there's a bit to get into the private parking. And I'm in there, and then we pull up, and I'm about to get... He's like, oh, wait a minute. It's building security behind us. And I'm like, all right, well, I don't really want to have to be shady the whole time. Next bit of information I'm going to tell you, you have to guess throughout the story at which point I noticed this.
Okay, that's interesting.
So obviously it's an Airbnb and there's a list of all the stuff that they're going to have, all the basics. So the reason I ended up not staying at this Airbnb was they had no toilet roll, no kitchen roll, and no towels.
Okay.
Which is pretty annoying. So anyway, I check in.
Yeah, no, that's fucking annoying. If you're travelling light.
You've been travelling this whole time, yeah, blah blah. I check in. The guy shows me the place. It's not quite as nice as it looks in the photos, but that's kind of the risk of Airbnb. Yeah. It's not a hotel. So he goes, I've had a long flight. I like to eat a lot of sweets on flights and watch films. I watch films, eat sweets. So I'm like, I put my stuff down, I look at the room, like, right, I've been travelling for 14 hours. I'm going to go and take a shit. So I'll go and take a shit. This is the point I noticed that there's no toilet roll.
Yes.
So I've had my shit.
Are you using your boxer shorts here?
Or what I'm thinking here is I'm thinking they said there'd be kitchen roll. So I've had my shit and I waddle across the apartment.
Penguin style.
Penguin to try and find the kitchen roll.
Oh,
there's no kitchen roll.
So you've torn up a bog roll?
Nope. Well, there's nothing. There's nothing
not
to tear
even
up.
A cardboard
there's nothing to use. There's no options, so I'm like...
It's always an option, mate. Like, no one's died from it.
I'm like, I'm going to have to... I'm going to have to shower this shit off my arse.
There we go.
Right.
So I jump in the shower.
Oh, brilliant.
Have you got a hairy butthole?
Yeah, I have. It's reasonably
that must
hairy.
Make you
yeah. yeah, so... Yeah. So I'm showering the shit off my ass, trying to not be too gross.
Yeah.
But again, I've been a long flight. I'm sweaty. It wasn't pleasant. I'm trying to soap to try and disperse and break up any lumps. I've only eaten chocolate the whole journey, so it's not a pleasant experience. Again, I travel on my own. So this is quite heartbreaking. In fact, on the last podcast. We talked about when you feel like a grown-up, and one of mine is when I get to a new country and I rent a car and drive it. So I'm a grown-up. I'm travelling on my own. I feel grown-up. Didn't feel so grown-up when I'm showering the shit off my arse in a dodgy hotel room. So finally, I think I'm just about probably at clean. It's really hard to tell without the option of a wipe. It's kind of like there's soap. Is it... That's the point I realised that there's no towels. So I'm walking around this... apartment, soaking wet, possibly still a bit shitty, with no towels.
Scroobius drip.
So I just kind of have a stroll about. I dried myself a little bit on a pillowcase. And at that point, makes I was sense. Like, I'm here for a week, and with the Destiny podcast, They were flying me out for one day. I'd gone a week early and was paying for my own hotels and stuff like that to do work. Yeah, I have to have meetings, and every time I go to LA, it's about hustle. So generally, both times when I'm on the flight, I might have one meeting booked. But both times, thankfully, I've ended up having a load of meetings. But I'm landing there aware that if I don't get any meetings, I'm just sat in that room. My thought was to write, to get work done, to be productive. But potentially, I'm going to be in this apartment a lot.
Yeah,
and it was shit. So I decided I'm not staying here. This isn't good enough. So I get.
Had you tried to mediate these things? Had you said, "Listen, this is unacceptable"?
Not really, because the person I'd rented off, whose details I had, was unavailable until 10.
Oh, right.
And it's like, well, that's not cool. So I look at my phone, and I go on Bookings.com,
right?
And it's like, there's a nice hotel. What are they called? Los or Loose? LOES, I think they're called. It's a nice hotel. It was like under a mile or something like that. And then it's like, sure. And I open the window to my apartment and it's opposite the apartment. And I'm like, I'm going there.
Okay, yeah.
So I check in and I'm like, look, I have a good chat with the person on the desk. I'm like, mate, I've been on a plane for 14 hours. I've had an appalling apartment across the road. And she was saying, we get this a lot. Like, we get a lot of people who are coming here who've had shit Airbnbs. Not who've shit in Airbnbs with no toilet roll.
They've not clawed shit out of their bum hole.
No. So I get in and I check in. It's nice. And I've messaged this Airbnb person saying, not acceptable. In your details, it said, this, not acceptable. I ain't staying there. And in that time, I'd found another Airbnb. So my plan is, I'll stay in this hotel tonight, tomorrow, a new one. The new one was golden. The people were lovely. But then I'm arguing with the last one.
Yeah.
Because she's saying, all right. And she gets back to me at, I think, 11 o'clock. And she's like, all right, I'll bring some toilet roll and stuff. And I'm like, no. That should have been there on check-in. It's not acceptable. I was like, I'm afraid that's not acceptable at all. And this was the first of four incidences I've had in recent weeks when I've learned that Americans don't have the phrase, I'm afraid. Because she was like, look, I understand that you're afraid. but I'll bring it now. It's like,
how did these guys conquer the world? They're always afraid of things.
She thinks I'm sat in this hotel covered in shit afraid. Look, I understand that you're afraid, but I'll sort it out. And I'm like, no.
Such a tiny country.
That's amazing. I'm like, no. This isn't... That's not what I'm saying. It's not acceptable. I'm not staying there. And she was like, well... She starts saying, I'm not giving you a refund. She's like, I've not got time to rent the place out again. And I was like, let's make no mistake about it. I booked this less than 48 hours in advance.
Yeah.
So it's not like you were renting this place out. That was going to be empty.
P.S. I don't give a fuck.
I've not used it. I've not slept there. I want my money back. And she's saying, no, I'm sorry. And I was like, look, there were signs all over this building saying you can't use Airbnb here. I was like, let's just resolve this cleanly. Because I don't want to report you to the building and fuck your shit up.
Yeah.
I would accept that maybe there was some confusion. Just give me my money back and we'll call it that. But she's like, nah, I'm keeping your money. So I don't do this often. And I did recently in my war with Papa John's, which we'll get into the next episode. I pulled some celebrity shit and tweeted about it. And from my verified Twitter account with over 100,000 followers, she said, having a fucking appalling time with Airbnb, with at Airbnb. Airbnb are then like, what's up, man? How can we help you? So an Airbnb person gets in touch and starts saying, oh, I'll help you out. And I'm like, look, I don't want to be... I don't want to be a dick. I'll pay for that one night if they want, but I'm not paying for a week in a place that didn't have the stuff that they would agree they'd have, which I'd imagine anywhere should expect to have toilet roll and towels.
Regardless of service
again,
or product.
If they'd said in advance, we don't have that, because Airbnb is an unusual quantity. It's people renting stuff out. So if they'd said, you bring all your own stuff, then fair enough. But because they had a list that said
and
what
they
to
had. Be fair, mate, you being you, you like I'd have shown up there expecting it because I wouldn't have read any of that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have had a lid to stand on, but you would have known that because you'd have actually been bothered to read it.
I knew
it.
What they had, and it's, it, yeah. It, so, yeah, anyway, it kicks off, and I'm like, look, I'm going to fuck you up. I was like, I'm going to report you to your building and you're going to be screwed. Because, like, in the Airbnb thing, it said, like, never say that you're Airbnb. Say you're a friend of Sarah.
Does that really say that?
If anyone talks to you, no, not on the website, in the confirmation email you get, the breakdown, say you're a friend of this person, say this and say that. And I was like, look, I've been really nice. It said I had 3 days, honestly, of being really nice. Just saying, look, let's just resolve this. Just give me my money back. It's cool. We write it off as a bad day.
Yeah.
And she wasn't having it. So, yeah, I got Airbnb. And the thing is, if you put in a complaint, you can only get a percentage of your money back. So I'm like, look, I'm losing money here. You're keeping some. Let's just call it. She's like, no, declined it. Declined my option to claim it. Airbnb got involved, got me 100% of my money back.
Win.
And fuck that woman off. But yeah. Then it was a lovely trip. I had a great time. I had some great meetings. It was awesome. But, mate, turning up and having shit all over your ass, showering it off, and then not being able to dry was...
Airbnb is...
Was not a highlight.
I did have towels
but
in there.
I must say, yeah, wait. You were so ungrateful.
The next place I got at Airbnb was spot on.
Off the fucking hook.
It was a bit noisy, and I slept with earplugs in and an eye mask, it was right on Hollywood Boulevard, but it's where I'll stay every time I go out there, because it was enough. I'm not... I was trying to say to people, I'm not a fucking diva. I'm happy to stay somewhere that's a bit noisy, that's this or that, but toilet paper and towels, after a 14-hour flight, I expect that. I don't expect you to say, oh, we'll bring some tomorrow. Nah.
It doesn't need to be after a 14-hour flight. Toilet roll isn't
general,
something you should bring.
No.
My experience of Airbnb in the UK has been off the scale amazing. Like, we have had the coolest properties. We rented one for a friend's wedding.
I think that's the thing, though, isn't it? The point is, you're rolling the dice.
Yeah.
It's not a business and a hotel. Do you know what I mean? If you go to a hotel and it's bad, then you can kind of kick off and speak to her. If it's an individual, then they're easy to go, nah. What do you mean, nah?
I think that's a responsibility. I think we should have more of things like Airbnb because it's so much more characterful than when you go and spend time in a hotel.
Yeah.
And you can pay a lot less and have a much better experience in these places. And they're more homely and you can go and stay places that are a lot cooler. But if people on Airbnb aren't fucking putting toilet roll in...
Mate, it was not a good time. That was not a good first night. And weirdly... Oh, no. I won't even go into that, but I'll talk about it afterwards in private.
Okay. So that
anyway,
was
so that was my Airbnb experience. It wasn't enjoyable. The last thing I want to touch upon here, I've got another little story which I've not told either of you about.
Because I want Scroobius, please.
Yeah, because I wanted to save it for the drunk cast. Oh, you've got some gin, haven't you?
I've got gin.
Yeah, no worries.
Why don't you have some Fever Tree and tell me what you prefer?
Shut up.
Yeah.
Why don't you be a big boy?
Why don't you have some Fever Tree and some of the oranges I've sliced and an olive? Because he's not a prick.
Yeah. Why don't you grow some pubes, Chris?
Speaking of pubes.
Oh, okay.
I was having a bit of a tidy up.
What, of yours or of the bag by the side of your bed that Chris gave you?
Of mine.
That you never actually did anything with other than...
I like that without batting an eyelid, you finished my bottle of Pepsi then and then just popped it on the floor.
No, I asked you earlier. You said that you had loads.
Not batting an eyelid. Finished it, chucked it away. All right, cool. Well, that's that then. So I was having a bit of a tidy up and... Like, you have a tidy up, right? You keep your area in good nick. Like, what's your process? Are you a clean shave guy?
That's called an eggshell finish.
Eggshell finish? What are you guys?
No, I'll just clipper it.
Yeah. Chris?
He's eggshell all day long. Look at his face.
Clipper.
Bullshit.
Sometimes scissors.
When we've finished this, we'll end this episode on a little classic Chris story of a waxing.
Oh,
about any bit. Just, Just a bit of man tidying, if he wants to. He doesn't have to.
No, I'm cool with that, because he kept pestering me about that the other day, actually.
So I'm having a bit of a tidy up, and I'm lifting up to get underneath.
You don't lift up.
You know, the
stem, not the balls.
The stem.
Right.
The stem to get underneath. I lift the balls up to get underneath as well.
Yeah, right, yeah, I just wanted to know.
But at that point, I was lifting up...
He doesn't do either.
I was lifting up the stem to get underneath. It's a bit of a... Let's call it a bit of an ollie. A bit of an ollie issue. That's a callback to your podcast.
Yes.
Devil Guitar Pop, where you said Ollie had a massive penis. I was just claiming it was. I haven't really, but I was lifting up.
I just thought you meant your dick was covered in shit.
I was lifting. Tune in to part one of Devil Guitar Pop to hear about a shitty dick story. Yeah. So I'm lifting up, having a bit of a tidy, and I've got my clippers, and I just go boom, and a bit of skin flops off.
Oh dear!
And I've gone a bit close. I mean, they're wrinkled. They're wrinkled. It's a wrinkled area, and literally, it's a wrinkled bit. And I've just
stem or your balls?
Off the balls.
Off his balls. What? Your stem's wrinkled, you freak! I was going to start taking the piss out of Pip, but you've made a faux pas there.
I've
lifted up, and then I'm going down, and so say the stem has got a crease we should have filmed this one because my actions are beautiful. So the stem has got a crease that follows its way down.
Yeah.
The balls. And I've just gone, and it's just hanging off. And I'm like, ah. And it's not hurting. Because weirdly, that's quite a dull area. The balls themselves protected, but that's quite, I guess that's quite thick skin, isn't it? The ball skin.
Yeah, but to take a slice of it hanging off.
A slice, and it's hanging off.
What, like if you sort of peeled an apple and then didn't actually peel it straight off?
I called this story Ball Bag Carpaccio. It's like a little... It was like a little bit of dried meat. It was a nice little...
Dried... Oh, don't say dried meat, mate.
So it's hanging off and I'm like... What do I do? So I give it a little bit of a tug and then it hurts a little bit. So I'm like...
How much skin are we saying? A centimetre?
Length...
Yeah.
It's a few centimetres.
Whoa!
Length fits several centimeters.
Is it bleeding?
There's a little bit of blood, but it's that kind of, you know, when you graze yourself and blood comes up in dots. Yeah.
Speckles.
Yeah. So it's a bit of, it's starting to bleed through that.
Like a graze.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just hanging there. And it's so, I'd honestly say, like, how long's that? About an inch?
That's over an inch.
Oh, I thought that was about 9 inches.
No, my fingers, not that. About an inch. So yeah. I'd say about an inch is hanging off.
That's a big shaving error, man.
And I'm like, oh. And I give it a tug and it won't come. So I'm like, I've got to operate. So I'm incidentally, I'm doing... You've been in my bathroom. I'm doing this, stood in my bath so that I could look in the mirror. Yeah.
The John Travolta one.
To get a good angle. No, the big mirror opposite the John Travolta ones. So the bath...
Sorry, just to clarify, generally when we finish a podcast, we all bath together, don't we?
Yeah. So I'm like, right. I'd best step out of the bath and get me scissors.
I respect you. So I've had not a lot of respect for you.
So
over
I step
the years,
out of the bath
now,
and I get my hair scissors. I give my beard a tidy up every now and then. So, so I get my hair scissors and I'm like, all right, this is a...
Stop tidying up. It ain't working for you.
No, mate, it's not...
This isn't tidying
this
up
is,
now.
This is damage limitation now. This is operating to improve poor
this
situations.
Is ER.
So I flop my dick to one side.
Right. Me and Chris are staring at Pip's crutch at the moment.
To get it out of the way, I lean my dick on my knee.
Yeah.
And then I take hold of the inch of flapping skin.
Fuck off.
It's not an inch,
and
mate.
I get my scissors, and I just snip it. And I snip it off. And then I've got this little ball bag carpaccio in my hand.
That's dark.
And I fling it in the bin. And I regret it now because I should have kept that. I should have kept that and got some, like, put a platter out with some dried meats.
I'll tell you what, mate, you should have snuck it on there. Fed it to one of us.
Snuck it on there, easy. But yeah, that was. I spent a week or two, and this is a weird bit now. I'd say two or three times a day, I'd treat it, and I think of my granddad. Because the smell of TCP really reminds me of my granddad's.
Oh, okay.
And you know TCP is stingy. It's not nice. Oh, so what I'd do is I'd TCP it.
Oh.
And then I'd put some healing gel on.
Yeah.
Savlon healing gel. To try and seal it over. Because now it was just a... It was just a gap, I guess. It looked like a graze, but it was just a gap.
I tell you what, mate. Bob Marley died because he stubbed his toe. You might well die because you fucking shaved your balls.
I operated on my on my ball sack. And that's my that's my ball bag Carpaccio story.
I wish it...
Fucking awful.
I'd have been happier you serving that to one of us.
I mean, I should have. I really regret that now. Because yeah, it would have... I could have just slung...
Great Christmas present for Chris.
Some dried meats on the table. After all these years. And that would not have been noticed.
You're lucky, Stu, I tell you that, mate. You were short a few pubes in your Christmas present.
Yeah?
And I told you about them because I couldn't... I didn't have the the balls to fucking feed you my pubes as in cupcakes.
Oh, in the cupcake, yeah.
And I told you about it, didn't I? As a little bit of a joke, and then you didn't play along. So now
I've eaten worse.
You did that thing off the floor in the train station.
Let's wrap things up.
Talking about a ball cutting, I've done that. I've hacked into my nuts with a pair of scissors before.
Are we going to go into your manscaping adventures?
What now? Because Stu wants to hear about this.
No, I mean, it's not a long story, is it?
I think that would be a... When Craig... Because Craig's coming to the live one, isn't he?
You save that for Craig. All right. So August 10th at the Hoxton Bar and Kitchen, how much are we going to tell? You will get to hear which family member...
Yeah.
...waxed Chris's arse.
Mm-hmm.
And other parts.
And other parts. So that's which family member... And make guesses. Make guesses on social media. Yeah. Which family member of Chris Glasson waxed the arse and other waxable areas nearby of Christopher Glasson?
Of Craig Gleeson.
Of Craig Gleeson.
And bonus points. The big question, why?
Right. We're going to end this episode by going to Facebook for a few questions. Let me have a little look. Oh, one guy was getting angry that Joe Rogan has sold his soul. And he was saying that Joe Rogan has sold his soul because he said it used to be real and then he had some television show and now all of a sudden the moon landing actually happened.
That's mental.
And I was like, all right, mate, it definitely happened. Or I think it happened, but yeah, let's not get into that. Right, a question one from Ed Phillips. What is the greatest irrational fear you care to admit to? For me, incidentally, chewing on woolen knitwear is what that guy says.
Morris dancers.
Yeah, no, I even get that.
Morris dancers. I've mentioned before. I've got a selfie phobia, which sounds really odd. But I'm just really, I get really uncomfortable. It only occurred to me the other day. I've never been comfortable in photos. Like, it was an ongoing joke with my dad's Mrs. Jackie. That I would always hide in photos or not be there or be in the background. And yeah, it's a weird one. I'm really irrational.
Well, we've taken one already. We're going to take another one.
Oh, no, on the Polaroids with work, it's a different thing. And it's why I post a lot of the same photo shoots. Because as you'll know as well from social media, if people are following you, the pictures that you post of yourself tend to get more likes than pictures of just here's a field. And that's logical. If I'm following Snoop Dogg, if Snoop posts a picture of himself doing something, I'm more interested than Snoop posting a picture of a beach.
Yeah, completely.
It's a logical thing. And it was a thing. It's the reason I post a lot of photo shoots, because if it's a photo shoot for work, I'll get it done. And it's an odd one. But yeah, I've not got loads of... Here's me hanging out. If you look on my social media, there's no selfies other than the Polaroids for the thing. So that's mine, I guess.
So what one is yours, Stewie?
Morris dancers.
Morris dancers. Yeah, I can't think of one off the top of my head. I'll get it, though. Open the next episode, I'll have one.
Old Steve Potter. Potts.
Steve Potts.
How has life changed for Chris and Stu since their mugs were plastered all over the iTunes store homepage? And have they had fans offering themselves to them? Brackets, this is not an offer. I was annoyed.
By
when
the way,
you...
Steve's iTunes review is exceptionally good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was annoyed when you posted a screenshot of you guys recently on the front page of iTunes, because I had previously posted one.
I didn't pick up on why you'd done it.
On the Distraction Pieces page. Yeah. Your podcast was under another podcast that had a picture, like the week that you'd done your coffee enema episode, under a podcast that had a picture of a coffee, and it was something like...
It was called Home Alone.
It was called something along them lines. Yeah. And I was like, what is the chances of that? And then Stu posted going, oh, we're on the front page of iTunes and with then, nothing in there.
No, and then when I went back to yours, I just thought, oh, fuck, I didn't read what you put. And like, and then when I read it, I was like, oh, fuck, that's amazing.
Yeah, I was like, all right, let's ignore that good bit of research and joking. But yeah, has genuinely, or you've said about being out for a run and someone
that was good.
Listening to a podcast. How are you finding it all? You got a message, and this is possibly a spoiler that isn't allowed, but you got a message the other day off Joe, who produces a Huey Morgan's podcast, saying, are you guys up for a bit of a... potential podcast swap. Yeah. I know it's not confirmed yet, so that's not spoiling anything, but stuff like that. I know you and me grew up loving the Fun Loving Criminals, and I know, Huey's my boy now, but that's exciting, right?
Yeah, because...
That wasn't anything I organised or had any influence on.
I was like, when we were over the other day, I was like, has that got anything to do with you? He was like, no.
Not hooked that up at all.
Has life changed? No, not at all.
No, not at all.
Do you know what? No, it has. I'm happier.
Totally. Like I, as weird as it sounds, I actually look forward to like Chris coming over and having
super weird
because we have a laugh.
Yeah,
and like, and even yesterday going to Tunbridge Wells, we
to have Mark from the Blue Tones on, right? Yeah, which is next week's episode.
Yeah,
which is out insane. And what we end up talking about.
And you were a big Blue Tones fan as well back in the day.
Big Blue Tones fan. I held it down yesterday, but he then talks about graphic novels. And when we talk about his second record, which for me is a really it changed me.
Mm.
And the things I used to think about when I used to listen to the record, and then I'm having a conversation with a guy who was a legend to me.
Yeah.
About something I thought about, which he has an affinity for.
Yeah.
How can that not change your life? Like, not in the sense of driving around with Ferraris and stuff. Yeah. That's not my life.
I was hassling you two to start the podcast for fucking ages, and particularly you, Stu, because I know that there was a point that you weren't too happy in your work.
Yeah.
Right? You'd had to start a job. You've been a club promoter for years, but
I've never had beef with that.
That
job.
Goes up and down.
Yeah, that goes up and down. Yeah.
And you'd had to start a regular job. Yeah. And that isn't a diss, it's with family and all that kind of thing. But you'd said that you were feeling a bit
uncreative.
I'm done. And I was like, mate, seriously, these drunk casts at that point, the drunk cast had over a million downloads.
Which is insane.
I was like, you've got an audience to start your own podcast.
And do you know what? It's so weird that like people will message us with like little kind of things. I think they've listened to lots of episodes and like, and they kind of feel like they know us, which is really nice.
Or what was cool when me and you were doing a lot of Facebook Live on the Hardcore Listing page. So again, go on Hardcore Listing and check that page out on Facebook. We were having a lot of the same people there and they had clearly listened. Yeah. They were referencing regular Hardcore Listing episodes. It wasn't
funny
Distraction
shit.
Pieces fans. Yeah. It was people who've listened to our one, but you guys, they were.
Yeah. It's good. And like, and they, you know, we have running jokes and stuff, and it's nice that people are on board with that now as well and kind of chip in. And
I also think that the fact that we're unprofessional means the fact that it's not intentional, but we're not very good at keeping people up to date on what we're up to. So if you haven't heard the previous episode, then that's cool. But also, when I start ripping into your face as being, you know, a substitute for potato salad, everyone's going to be like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
We'll always do that. And it's cool that people actually are like, no.
Going on social media.
That's weird. That's weird.
And you're going to, this is just blowing smoke up your asses now, but you've been doing a podcast 3 months?
Yeah.
And you're going to have a sold out show in London. Like it's getting there. It's sold a lot already. But if you're interested in going to see that, get your tickets because that's going to be sold out. That's mental, right?
It is mental.
A sold out crowd of people just coming to listen.
It's really strange. We put a post up today saying like, because I know when you done your one, you put a little shout out if anyone's travelling on their own and wanted to meet up with other people that were coming on their own.
Yeah.
And we done that today, and the response was
saying if anyone wants to meet Craig,
yeah. he'll be down this alley.
Do you know, that's something also that's really cool, is the fact that we've done the drunk cast, you know, we do Craig stories and stuff, and I'm always terrified about, we talk about my anxiety after we do episodes of the drunk cast or hardcore listening, and people don't, most people aren't like, oh my God, do you actually murder people, or people do actually kind of get that it's a fucking, you know, it's a laugh and joke.
Anyway, so I'm gonna have one more question before we wrap this up from Carl Brown. Hey, Carlos. Folks, quick question for you all. What is your very first memories of each other?
And definitely know
there's,
mine.
There's also a what advice would you give to someone starting out in the podcast world? Well, there's a chapter in the Distraction Pieces podcast book all about starting podcasts. So. Mm-hmm.
I would say don't buy the cheap gear.
There's a chapter in the Distraction Pieces podcast gear detailing the gear that I use, which ended up being what you guys got. So if you just read my book in the first place...
Alternatively, there's 5 episodes at the beginning of our podcast, which you can listen to as to how not to record, and then just buy the stuff in Pip's book.
Hey, but hey, if you're hardcore, you listen to...
We can't give advice, we just... bought what you bought.
Anyway, let's go on to the first memories of each other. I think my first memory of you, Stu, will have just been in Serious Problem.
Okay.
I think. Were you doing much at the Brush then? I don't think you were at that age, were you?
Yeah,
I might have known you from the Brush, from DJing or whatever, but in general, I think it was Serious Problem. I hung out at the college before I was going there, so I was there a few older years and whatever. I'd bunk off school to go and get drunk and do drugs at the college. Because I'm just a rebel.
Life goals.
Just a rebel. And look at me now.
Yeah.
That's why I've not gone and given a talk, as your mate asked us to do. Palmer's. Well, my first 2 years here, I wasn't actually a student. And then the 2 years after that, I was just trying to kind of be Wooderson. but yeah, I guess Serious Problem and that kind of thing.
Okay. I think mine, I remember... I remember you at the Toothbrush waiting around at the end of the night for one of the young ladies that worked behind the bar.
Oh, Katie.
Kate.
Yeah, lovely
Kate. Yeah.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
What do you want to take it to? What do you want to do? Take it to the cinema?
And watch the credits.
That's a throwback to my...
Listen to some Jill Scott Heron.
Now that's a dig at Chris Anthony.
Basically,
if you listen back to previous podcasts, you'll hear how pathetic I've always been with women, and I've never been much of a ladies' man.
Oh, is it over? The credits have gone. They're cleaning the aisles.
That's interesting. I'm actually pleased that I wouldn't have put it in me to wait around to meet someone after. I would have thought I'd bottled it before that. I wouldn't have
So I'm pleased. You were sitting there because I was thinking, I asked that guy from Grays that looks like a B-boy.
I look like a B-boy. What's up?
He didn't. He never
She like gave me one of my favourite mixtapes. And I think she might have DJ'd one of the Thursday nights or something at the Brush at some point.
She did.
Because she gave me a tape like when she was about to do that.
It was that night.
Really fucking good. It was like I was into all my punk and that at
she
that point anyway.
She liked her ska punk.
Yeah. But she was really knowledgeable on it all.
And she turned up at We Are Lizards 3 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, late. Remember. And I literally... She's
with our mate Steve now. She's been with Steve for years. Steve French. You know Steve French, you had a second of confusion.
No, mate, because I DJ'd when he was best man at Mike's wedding. Asylums. And I know, yeah.
So, yeah.
They're all great people.
Yeah, they are.
And Katie, we hung out with on the Relying on the Kindness of Strangers tour when we were in Nottingham. Her and her mate were at uni in Nottingham.
Straight up,
And we went to...
Rock City.
Join the Dot Festival.
Dr. Dot
Festival. And we saw...
Jack Pignatte
and Dan Sartain.
And he broke a guitar string. It was Dan Sartain
who broke the guitar string.
Which was amazing,
wasn't
it? Yeah.
He was great. Anyway.
Oh, good time.
That's good.
First memory of you, Christopher, was you approached me with Ben...
Simpson.
Outside the...
My boy.
Brush.
I did, yeah.
And kind of... I remember...
You're leaning in for a kiss.
I remember just thinking, why is he shouting? But yeah, you was telling me about Redshift and that, and you wanted to DJ, and I think I was going to give you smack a set at Club NME over in Chelmsford.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And
how did you know Ben?
I didn't. Ben was just with you. Oh, right, both right. Just come up to me and started chatting.
Oh, wicked.
And then I don't know how I ended up bumping into you again.
Well, that didn't happen because we went and checked it out and all that. It was all good. You had Jack Beats playing for you, and Jack Beats were a big deal, man. They were really cool. But then that fizzled out, and then me and Pip were talking about a club night, and we were talking about doing...
Oh, was it Lizards then?
Remixes. Must have been Lizards.
So it was Lizards. Yeah. And even when Pip said that, I was like, oh, I don't know, I ain't sure about that. And then we, you know, you guys started doing it, and it was cool, man. And we were doing we did the Lizards remixes, which were the fucking shit.
Yeah. And we started off with a Lizards banging, DJing mate. Together, didn't we?
Yeah, they were all banging. But you bought that Lizards mask, and I couldn't find one I liked.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, I couldn't find
mask
one
from day one. And
I couldn't be bothered to put one on because I couldn't find one I liked. But we should probably do that. We should do like a fun Lizards remix for like an anniversary one because you play them. I don't play them. Every time you play them, I'm like, shit, they're good tunes,
man.
Some
good
we
ones,
made,
didn't we?
We made.
In
some
fact, in one of the halves, I've got my iPod here, and the end of one of your podcasts with Death of Guitar Pop. You were talking about the best vocalists, and you were getting into a lot of Motown people.
Yes.
And I've dug out my own old battered iPod and charged it because on here I've got a collection of 400 old Motown a cappellas. And after a few more drinks, let's put a few on, have a bit of a listen, hear some amazing vocals. Chris, your first memory of the two of us. So you've got.
Same as for Stu is that he's walking up to him outside the pink toothbrush.
I can't think of my first memory of you. I think met you at college and you hung out in the canteen and I hung out in the blue room.
Predominantly.
So you were with. I think I met your crowd through Tom probably because Tom Coles drifted between the two.
So did I.
Whereas and Simo and one or two others. It would have been. It was through Irvine. I went to school with Irvine.
Because Irvine had spoken about
you. You went to primary school with Irvine, and I went to secondary school with Irvine. So then when we went to college, we kind of all mixed up. And I was more alternative than Irvine.
I was more of a trendy. If you were going to put us in a Venn diagram, but we would cross paths. And how we met was that I was a huge...
cunt.
No, I am a huge cunt.
Right.
I'm not talking about the
past tense.
Your grammar is awful, Stuart. Mark had said to me that I was a huge Prodigy fan, and Mark had said to me one of his homies from St. Tommy Moore, which was an all-boys school, which back at that day was, you know, I mean, he was really intelligent, had Prodigy tickets, and we met in a... Mark was like, oh, come and meet him. We met in a corridor.
Nice.
And I said something, and the first thing he said to... I honestly don't know what I said, but he went to Mark, is your mate crazy? And it was honestly the first thing he ever said to me. And I took a shat and ate it. I don't know.
It wasn't even yours.
It's weird because I don't... obviously always remember people, but I always remember that.
That's interesting. I don't remember that particularly.
You said that, and I can't remember our second meeting, but for me, meeting you was really important because you're one of like two or three people who shaped me musically.
Right, wicked.
So I guess we've never really spoke about this, but say Jamie did that hugely.
100%.
But you did as well. Like, you introduced me to,
Crack.
Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember we having that on a mini disc player in the car park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's my second memory of you, is absolutely being mind blown by that music and always being Rage. Wow,
did you come to the Prodigy All Nighter? Because that. That blows my mind because I remember the Prodigy All Nighter at Brixton Academy, and it was one of the first things I'd never heard of an all nighter. And the Prodigy was just doing a gig and then DJing all night. And I went to that, and I got kicked out for crowd surfing, and then I broke back in. So I got kicked. So cool. It was Brixton Academy. I got kicked out, and then I came to the door, I was like,
that was it.
I've been kicked out. And they're like, well, you can't come back in. I was like, I've got to get my coat. And they're like, the cloakroom's up the stairs. So I walked in Brixton Academy, the front door where it goes to them big stairs. I put one foot on the step and then ran and ran for the crowd. And the security are running after me. And I just got into the crowd. I was like, yeah. And then I got kicked out again.
Yes.
So it didn't last long. But yeah. And it that blows my mind because now half the posts at the Liam does on Instagram, he's wearing a Scroobius Pip merch and he wears my vest. He's got the t-shirt that's and all shit like that that he's just bought. He's never hit me up about that. And we know each other and we chat, but he's never said, oh, can you sort me out some merch? It's just there's a documentary about him and he's wearing my stuff in it. And it's like, that's mad. I got kicked out of your all-nighter when I was like 18 and broke back in. And
They are one of the most significant bands in our lifetime.
And Liam has to come on. He's going to come on the podcast. He's a big fan of the podcast. He listens a lot, but yeah, he needs to come on at some point.
I don't know, man. That makes me cringe thinking he ever hears me talk.
He listens. He's a big podcast fan.
Do you know
fan.
What, though? That's also cool because... No, he's gone. I'm a bit pissed now, so...
I love him, man. And we'd chatted over email for a while. He hit me up after Angles came out. So before even our second record, he hit me up to write some lyrics for Keith. And I was ignorant then, and I wrote stuff that was Scroobius Pip lyrics, not Prodigy lyrics. So I sent them, and he hit me back going,
this
is dope, but I can't use any of this. Like, this isn't... Unless we do a collaboration, this isn't going to work. And then, yeah, we kept in touch, and there was ages he was going to do a beat on my solo record. He inspired Distraction Pieces, the album, because I was going to just make it with Warren and that, and Yilla. And then he was like, if you ever want any beats? And I was like, oh, shit, I could work with other people. And it's why I got Danny Lonner in and Zane Lowe to do a beat and Steve Mason and all these. And then the first time we actually met was a year ago. My accountant...
Funeral.
Yeah, his accountant is my accountant's dad, and he passed away of a really quick battle with cancer. And I went along; it was sad, but it was a. I've said this to you before. I prefer. It's going to sound so dark, but I prefer funerals to weddings because I think funerals, I understand it and it's real. A wedding, it confuses me. Because it's let's all celebrate something I'm planning to do, if that makes sense. I understand anniversaries, but you're all meeting up at a wedding, so we've signed a contract to stay together. It's like, cool, but that doesn't always happen. Anyway, that's
death is 100% black and white, 0-1, you're dead.
The beautiful thing here, the beautiful thing here was it was sad and tragic, but the Prodigy guys were there and they got up and spoke, and it meant the world to them because Dave Clark, a shout out to Dave Clark. He's partly responsible for the Prodigy because they came to him early, and they were a mess of a band, just playing raves and dodgy stuff. And he kind of he managed them in a way and led them all along. It's why they had such a huge connection, and he toured with them and went on the road with them and stuff like that. And yeah, that's where I met Liam and met Keith and all of them. But I met Liam. Liam's the one I've spoken to. And there, he's like, I enjoyed the last podcast. This. It's like, man, this is such a weird... That's the one time we've met. Even though we've spoken for years, it's the one time we met. But yeah.
We went to, just before we end, we went to, what was it? Bellator, weren't it?
It was the UFC one, wasn't it?
Keith was a couple rows back. And that was tripping me out, man. Like, of all the people we've had and booked,
he's a hero,
just Keith
he?
Was like, I was spinning out. And Pip was like, oh, no, we'll go and say hello to him. And I was thinking... Mate, that's too much. That's too much of a big deal for me to act normal about it. Yeah.
Anyway, let's wrap another episode up, and we'll be back shortly with part three.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we're going to go over tons of stuff. We've hardly covered anything. We'll do more questions. We will do. I got hit by a ghost car. I got a phone call from Samuel L. Jackson. I went to Ben and Jerry. Stu DJ'd in Dartford. I've got a story about Chris that I'm not going to give the punchline away. A load of stuff. We'll see you in a bit.
You've been listening to Scrooby's Pip's Discretion Pieces.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.